blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regrets, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi svaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What shall we look at this morning?
We're looking at the simplest of all possible things, being in the present moment.
And, the simplest and the most essential.
Yeah, and well, the way it came through for me, and the most elusive. the karmic draw to, so what I've been looking at, it was like, it's so clear that's the intention. Mm-hmm. It's so clear that in that is everything the heart desires. Mm-hmm. That everything unfolds from that place. Mm-hmm. Everything is in that place. Mm-hmm. Everything takes care of itself in that place. I mean, it's just, it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. You know? So then, it's sort of in that, I think, spirit of inquiry place, just that curiosity of like, so what? You know, so if that's all so, then what's the deal with leaving?
Really? Yeah. I don't know, in my case, it's what brought me to practice.
Yeah.
You know, it's clearly what the heart wants.
Yeah.
So what's the point of, you know?
Yeah. So what I was seeing is that the habit, the addiction, the draw, the karmic brew, mm-hmm. to do something with it, mm-hmm. is one of the biggest pieces of it. Mm-hmm. So I was, I've joked for a long time that, you know, the peace quotes come through and I'm like, wow, that is like the best peace quote ever. You know, I'm going to save that one. And then I put it in this folder I call Sunday, so that on Sunday they'll go and record them, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided this morning I would do some of that, and there are dozens and dozens. And every one evokes that same, oh, that is so good. And I see this about that, and I see that about it. And what I watch as that goes on is this, this is a recording of, it's going to drop into one of millions. Am I ever going to hear it again?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And what am I going to do with it?
Uh-huh.
And what am I... Uh-huh. Oh, but this one, I should... You know, so it's like I record it. And it's like, well, that's not enough, because this one is so big and so life-changing that it needs to... Uh-huh. Well, what can I do with it?
Yeah. Just what can I do with it? What can I do with, you know, all these beautiful peace quotes,
yeah.
you know, and recording them on Sunday. And what it sounds like is you're having the experience as you read the peace
exactly.
quotes. that you collected the pieces for that same thing of, you know, this here now.
Yeah.
And yet some voices coming in going, well, you know,
yeah.
How will I ever find this again? How will I ever access this again?
Yeah, you just said a really interesting word, collected.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like that's what conditioning does,
uh-huh.
The danger of the human dropping into the place of the present moment.
Yeah.
Is, let's collect those present moments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's collect them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's sew them together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, you know, pick up the water from the river. Let's,
mm-hmm.
let's keep it.
Yeah, boy. Yes, mm-hmm. And it's that act of collection that just
kills it.
You know, kills the whole deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just that, as you say that, and what I've been looking at, it's just that exquisite, compassionate self-discipline, that place of restraint and religious observances, to let that be that moment. Just see it, you know, just fully experience being moved by that peace quote,
yeah.
And now laundry, and now this, and now
yeah.
this, and just that, just
yeah.
practice just being in this moment. I mean, again, it's so simple, but...
It seems simple, but as you say that, what arises is that it takes a certain amount of courage.
To just
it
really does.
To, you know, it one
really
wouldn't
does.
Think
yeah.
it does, but somehow, you know, it's like a safety line or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I could just hang on to this piece, quote,
that's right.
You know, somehow right. it's going to make the difference for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
exactly right. I experienced that too. It takes some courage. In fact, one of the piece quotes was something along the lines of, the bad news is that we're falling, like, quickly, you know, through space with nothing to hang on to. The good news is there's no ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Yeah. So, I mean, that's exactly it. Then, because what we're so trained to do is like, oh, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on to it. Keep it.
Yeah.
Because we know. We know
yeah.
that place of suffering.
Yeah.
Right? And so
yeah.
we know it doesn't always feel like this.
Yeah.
I don't always feel open-hearted and inspired
right.
and all those
right.
things. So how can I hang on to this
yeah.
so that I have it for the next time? But that realization that that's not me. Because the heart doesn't want to hang on to it.
No.
That's ego's movement
yeah.
to kill it, to,
yeah.
to, you know, cover it over.
Yeah.
So
well,
it does take that courage.
It
like
does take courage. And it does fly in the face of faith somehow to just let that go and to
yeah.
just trust that life's going to send the next,
exactly.
you know, inspiration when called for.
Yeah.
Or
and in every form.
In every form.
You know, cultivating that... oh, there was another one. Oh, yeah, I don't know if I can even think of the words, but it was a quote by Sherry that basically, in the present moment, there's no need for control because there's no fear, there's no anything else to you that I'm not thinking of right now, but just that place of, basically, we don't need to hang on to anything.
Yeah.
Because in every moment, we're exquisitely cared for. Every
yeah.
single moment. Whatever it is,
yeah.
you know, amazingly joyful and expansive,
yeah.
seemingly difficult and contracted, it,
yeah.
you know, cultivating that place of it's all perfect.
Yeah.
This.
It's reminding me, I was listening to an old open air, and someone had called in and said she was completely inspired by Peace Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And walking off with a toothbrush.
Yeah.
And no coat.
Exactly.
You know, and
yeah.
and a pencil, I think she had,
yeah.
and a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And Sherry was asking her to look at what is outside of the content of that, what is the inspiration? What is the process that she embodied?
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you're talking about,
yeah.
that just complete faith.
Yeah.
You know, to just let it all go and, you know, one step and trust that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to be handed
yeah.
to us in the next moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. And that if we stay here, we're perfectly cared
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
And it seems like that is so because we leave.
Mm-hmm.
And when we leave, it's like it becomes scary, and,
yeah.
and you know this, and all the meaning
yeah.
is attached to it. And
right.
Yeah, but that really did. That was a painful experience.
Yeah.
That was, but that's because
yeah.
we're not here.
Exactly.
If
we're
here.
In that story, and that story is really painful.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
being here is not.
That was helpful. I don't know if anything else to say about that, but my version is sort of writing the perfect letter home.
Uh-huh.
And so lately, and actually the first letter I wrote home, the perfect letter was, I got some guidance on that, was just to record and listen with a mentor,
mm-hmm.
and just authentically say whatever was coming up in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what it tried to get me into a lot is, gosh, how would you explain this experience to people?
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm in this conversation that while I'm eating or something, you know, that was really great today. How would you, oh, you know, it would sound really good. And, you know, what I really want people to, and what where I want to live is what was being talked about, which is in here. And so, and what I would love for everyone that I love, which is everybody, I want them to have that experience of presence. So if I truly want to support that, then it would seem that I would need to practice presence now.
Yeah.
So that maybe there's a possibility of being present when I'm actually with those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that happens.
Yeah. So just seeing that, you know, it's all about, you know, this here now. It's practicing that living from there. And, you know, and writing letters from there. And, you know, communicating from there. And that, you know, you're seeing that practicing what you're going to do at some future time is, you know, pulling you out of that state that you so desire to be in, that is going to be, the more we practice it, the more it's going to be available when we're in those situations.
And just that point about being in those situations, it'll unfold however it needs to unfold.
Yeah.
And of course that's way beyond anything I could make up in a
exactly.
story or write out perfectly.
Right.
And it does take so much courage, like, no, but because they really need to understand,
yeah.
and if they understand, then we'll really be connected when I get home, you know, all this crud that's really enticing.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's on some level sort of fun to think about or write about.
Yeah.
It's not depressing, it's sort of, but it's not real.
It's not real.
And I'm not with those people. There's an imagined image of that person or those group of people, and then somebody's talk. It's like, who is all that?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
Or me, really.
Yeah, really, truly. Talk about a whole story that has no, you know, a whole illusion.
Yeah.
You know, that it, yeah, as we go through that whole thing, that's never going to be delivered to those people.
No.
It's just some kind of imaginary, you know, crud, as you say. You know, that just isn't going to, it just takes us out of this moment.
And then what I was saying as you're reflecting that is, it is that creation of the I.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the I is going to communicate
this
experience, and now you know who I am and what I'm about and all of this made up stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the resistance for me, I think, to letting go, is that I'm having, you know, the I is having to let go of being an I.
Yeah.
It has really nothing to do with the letter writing or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just the release of the addiction to being an identity.
Yeah. The release of that identity, the addiction to that identity, and the illusion that of control.
Yeah.
That somehow that we can orchestrate all of this to have a desired result that's going to reinforce this identity, and somehow that's going to bring us everlasting happiness. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's it. What you just reflected was that process in a nutshell, and that word of control really kind of resonated. So, gosh, I guess it's just really fun to see that, and to you know, now I feel a little bit more of a resolve again to drop that, because it is kind of one of those, like, what is it? It's sort of like, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
You know, I was hearing somebody speak this morning about that any time we're in a conversation with conditioning is doing harm.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's sort of innocuous.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice conversation, right? Doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just as harmful as any other conversation.
And maybe even more so, you know, it's just to be in that kind of insidious distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're in, when that place, our life force is just being sucked away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emma. It seems like all of the teachings that have been coming through lately sort of linked together with each other and linked together with the being here now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the yes blog, the musings, everything matters, nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying attention or you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not paying attention, that's what you're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And What was the third thing? Oh, that's gone. But it's all, you know, it probably always has been like this, but it just is, I'm just aware that everything is really like beating on the same drum in such powerful ways. And that I, you know, the thing that everything matters or nothing matters, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, but some things are more important than other things, you know, kind of with what ego wants to say.
Yeah.
And what I got to in looking at that is that that's what ego does. It divides it everything into a duality. So this is good, this is bad, this is important, this is not important, this matters, this doesn't matter. And in that way, it allows us to, it convinces us that, well, this little thing I'm doing doesn't matter, so I don't need to be putting my full attention on it. I can do it easy. I've done it 100 times. And in that way, like you say, it's just siphoning off our energy in that moment, because that moment is our life.
Yes.
That's life.
Yes.
Every moment is our life. And
yes.
So if we're not fully there, if we're not paying attention and bringing our being to it, then the life that's being given to us in that moment, we're basically saying, this doesn't matter.
Just tossing it away.
Mm-hmm.
This is unimportant.
It's unimportant.
I'll wait for something bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe I'll pay attention when something really good comes along.
Right.
You know, this is just my day, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's so not that.
No,
it is so not that, because the life is in the attention I give it.
Really. And what we practice is what we have. You know, boy, if we're practicing throwing away, you know, all those little small moments of our lives.
And who is there to gobble up our life that we're throwing away?
Yeah. Highly unlikely we'll be there for that big moment, huh?
Exactly. And, you know, we're like feeding the wolf, the bad wolf. Because there goes our life energy, our life force into it, and so it just gets stronger, and we're there with half a life or whatever.
Wondering why we're feeling so dissatisfied and why it's not working. So to just really bring that gratitude for the small, you know, the attention.
The attention.
Being here
for
even the smallest moments.
Yeah.
And I know the practice that's been arising for me lately is just to say, you know, to remember to say thank you.
Yeah.
For the smallest little thing that is, you know, comes into my sphere. And wow, that does help to bring me right back.
Yes, indeed. I think gratitude is one of the most life-enhancing experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes you really aware of all the gifts that are being given.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yes blog is the same thing. You know, if life brings you something, and you go, no.
Or I've seen that before, and it's not important.
And there's something, you know, that's kind of coming in for me that way, that, you know, I'll take this much of it, but I don't think I want that part, you know. And to say that ahead of time really prejudices the way that I approach it, and I realize that. And trying to just keep the yes door open and just take the next step and see what happens. And the other thing, that teaching that fit in that I forgot was the talk we had the other night about the cutting corners. It's the same thing as something doesn't matter, stuff does.
Who's choosing those corners to cut?
Yeah.
So that's great. The yes door is there and available.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, saying yes, as Sherry has said this too, and, you know, I never got that. To me, if you say yes, well, you're in, you know, and there's no exit, man. You know, but you say yes and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going right back to
you're saying yes to the first step.
Yeah, you're saying yes to this moment.
Yeah.
And see what happens in the next.
Yeah, and then I say yes again, or maybe I don't for some.
Or maybe life has
life gives
another
option. Opens another door, and there's a yes over there. Yeah.
Great, thank you. Okay, Anna.
I've been having a fabulous workshop this week in the courage of staying in the present moment,
uh-huh.
guiding the morning sits,
uh-huh.
and saying the daily recollection.
Uh-huh.
What I've been seeing is that, so we would begin, and I'd be right there with every word, and really kind of experiencing in a clearer, deeper way some of the things that it was pointing at, you know, kind of right there in a very visceral way,
uh-huh.
with the heart pounding, and I began to notice that there was attention going to see what was next,
mm-hmm.
as a way of trying to dampen down the pounding heart,
uh-huh.
and like a clinging to a rope, you know, some sort of safety cord, just to make sure we were on track.
I know what I'm going to say two sentences from now, so I can calm down.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what I've been getting to see is that that which is clinging to the what's coming next and wants to take the edge off all of the sensations of being here is not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so through the week, mm. there's been a practice of choosing
uh-huh.
here, this word,
uh-huh.
this line,
uh-huh.
the pounding heart,
uh-huh.
the...
Wow.
And it dropped in as I was recording about it through the week, oh, this is when you're falling dive.
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
All of the... the like sensations of falling,
yeah.
and not grabbing onto the
letting
vine
go of
on the cliff.
Yeah. Letting go of that vine.
Yeah.
And just really seeing, making a choice for the being. It sounds
yes.
like you're seeing that even though it seems in the moment, the choosing to look ahead and make sure that you have, you know, a plan, what's going to come next,
mm-hmm.
is somehow taking care of the being.
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing is that it absolutely is not.
Yes.
And it's one of those conundrums that, you know, that the one that seems the most frightening,
yes.
the really letting go is the one that absolutely takes care of the heart and the being in
yes.
a way that planning does not.
Exactly, and I think that what just dropped in then was something that came up in group recently, that there can be a feeling of coziness in moving back into like a karmic groove or unconsciousness,
yes. yeah.
and moving towards freedom and home
yes.
feels like a, in quotation marks, you know, scary,
yes.
falling,
yeah.
thing, and so it has been just that choice for the
interesting to mm. say that, though it feels like a scary falling thing, but yes, there's something that keeps choosing that,
right,
you know, so yeah, beyond that message of it being a scary falling thing, there's something bigger that keeps choosing that experience, knowing that that's the one,
right, and it's somehow
yeah.
that growing clarity that it's not scary to
yeah.
the human,
yeah.
it's not of what it's scary to, and that's not me, and the way I've been able to do it is just turning attention again and again to the mentor's hand,
mm-hmm.
just between the shoulders as I'm sitting
mm-hmm.
and saying it,
mm-hmm.
and just the, you know, the ever expanding faith in that
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
that's the relationship we're choosing.
Yeah. To trusting that relationship with the mentor and actually building building that relationship with the mentor and practicing that trust of just having the mentor there with a hand between the shoulder blades and, you know, going for it.
Going for it. Yeah.
Thank you. Siobhan.
Being in the present moment and also the idea of being exquisitely taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, a thought kicked out in a turbo fashion, just another level, and I found myself tacking the word now onto the count after each breath in meditation to continue to remind myself, here with this, because yesterday was an exercise in saying past, future, imaginary, future, past. Every time I caught myself, it was like always not here.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, and then there are moments of here. It just depends on at what second you catch me. And I did my extra credit for email class number one this morning, which was the spiritual/life review from the mentor's viewpoint. And that's where the being exquisitely cared for comes in.
Mm-hmm.
In taking a look at all of the experiences and also there's that willingness, despite imagined consequences of taking that next leap and that next leap and that next leap and seeing kind of in the macro picture just how exquisitely this being has been taken care of and as moving along. And so here's the interesting part is that's happening regardless of whether or not I realize it. It's sort of like it's the same thing as this being is taking in so much beauty and love and connection, all the time. It's its very nature. That's how it survives, I think. That is the continual feed in there. And it's whether or not it's almost like conditioning will make it that there's an I have to be present. Darn it, past, future, I need to be present. As if that were essential to the process.
That's a really good point.
It has nothing to do with what is already so and what is always happening, which is that love and that connection, and because it's apparent. If I look back over, 52 years of being exquisitely cared for and brought to this place right here, and who knows brought to what place if there is a future.
Yeah, if I understand what you're saying, that there is, life is living in this form presently. Life is there, experiencing the beauty and, the exquisiteness, everything around. And conditioning or will come in or an I will come in and try to then take practice being present and fail to see that the presence is there. It's just the attention that has been distracted to something other than the present that misses that life is there in beauty.
It's almost like I want to be more loving, say, the idea. And what I was playing with, given the peace quote, I think, about the I as being, just a word that we tack on in front of everything else. So I thought, I'll just remove it. So, want to be more loving, be more loving, more loving, loving.
Be the loving.
Right. Bing, bing, bing,
Yeah.
just go straight.
straight to that, which is already happening. Uh-huh. You know,
yeah.
That there is this love always bubbling up
yeah.
inside, even in the midst of I haven't quite got it with the anger, but in other grief and sadness and you know, the other kinds of emotions that are not so so uplifting,
mm-hmm.
Always present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, this goes back to what we were talking about to begin with this morning, you know, this here now. You know, to just all that rest, all the rest is just extraneous. And when we can come back to this here now, we see that all that we've ever wished for
yeah.
is present. Is here now. It's nothing that needs to be strived for or, you know, planned for. Or, you know.
Yeah, and I think Enneagram Type 1, you know, there's a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a, you know, a way, the way, the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is, you must do it,
mm-hmm.
rather than recognizing that it's already happening, you know, and that there's the sense of me always kind of, you know, one beat
yeah.
behind,
yeah.
you know, rushing to
yeah.
to experience that which has just happened,
yeah.
you know.
wait,
yeah. you know. or you know, take the reins, or
yeah.
you know, do something. It's funny to see just how extraneous the eye is.
Yeah. I was sitting in the grape arbor the other day, you know, with that doing, not doing, you know, like, you know, like some more insights on that, you know, and watch everything around me, like, look like it's doing a lot, you know, the birds and the squirrels, and I mean, God, they're just so active, and then I just, but they're not doing it for, I mean, I project for ego, you know, it's like they're not.
It's just occurring.
It's just rising. It's just in that life living, and yeah, a whole different experience than the getting into the doing, and you know, and
yeah.
how can I, yeah,
yeah,
how can I, yeah, get this right? How can I plan this?
Yeah.
Well. I kind of know what I want to talk about, but I don't know how I'm going to do that. So someone wishes I just would shut up and not talk.
So that there we're going right back to the planning thing.
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
it prefers to know what
yeah.
how I'm going to do this.
Right.
But it's about the whole workshop and saying yes, which I've really been appreciating. And practicing saying yes,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that showed up for me this morning when I was looking at it is that that at least in many times in my experience, no just confirms who I already am.
Hmm. Uh-huh. No confirms who you already are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
it's
confirms
who I think
the
I
identity that
who I
yeah.
think I am says
mm-hmm.
no.
Mm-hmm.
And who I might be. Who I don't know says yes.
Yeah.
And if I don't say yes, I will never know that me that is revealed in saying yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you don't say yes, you'll never know other possibilities, other. Uh-huh.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I can watch when I say yes, and in a particular place I'm saying yes, it's a kind of a long process of going through steps, and so every step is so far still a yes, but as it gets closer to when the actual commitment yes has to be made, I can feel the no getting louder. And I'm just looking at that, and sometimes I don't know where that's coming from. I often am sure where it's coming from, but sometimes I have my doubts.
Sometimes you don't know where the no is.
Yeah,
from.
Yeah. But the things that I hear that confirm that it's ego that's saying no is, well, I'm just not that kind of person,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know. Or if I did that then,
you know, this mm-hmm. is what it would look like and it wouldn't be good. Mm-hmm. Or this might happen and then that would be good. You know, those are all the ways the no is cloaked. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, I heard myself say that I think that what's scary about the final yes is that this particular yes has a time commitment on it. I mean, you have to commit for a certain part of time, you know, and somebody doesn't like that there's no back door, you know, that mm-hmm. you can't say in a couple of weeks that, yeah, I made a mistake, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's ego's fear of the life I might discover that I don't yet know how to do.
Mm-hmm. Ego's fear of the life that might be discovered
that it doesn't know how to do. So the life I have right now, pretty much I figured out how it works. You know, and it's kind of manageable and, you know, no big surprises, you know, maybe some little surprises here and there, but it's, conditioning can manage me within it.
Yeah. Boy, it's going back to the heart pounding and trying to figure out what the next two lines are going to be.
It is, exactly like that. Yeah. It's like, so, but what if I'm outside those boundaries? You know, mm-hmm. what if I am trying something on that is not me, that is not familiar, that is not known, that is not controllable?
Mm-hmm.
And the not trusting of what life would be able to provide in anything that I find out there.
It's that story creation again, that, you know, imaginary outcomes, and that, you know, there's just no way.
Right.
No way that can be predicted how life will unfold.
Right. And, you know, it's ego presenting the fear of what is out there. Ego presents the fear of what is out there, but it's really ego's fear that I won't stay in here.
Yeah.
You know, it does not want me out there where it's out beyond its boundary, its rule, prescription, you know, where it can usually get its way.
Yeah. It fights hard to keep you in this known space,
mm-hmm.
where it's predictable space,
mm-hmm.
where it's danger if she steps into the world of unlimited possibility. And what keeps arising too is that, you know, thank goodness with the recording and listening practice and all, you know, that we now have, you know, developing that relationship with a mentor,
right.
so that step out into unknownness doesn't have to be taken alone.
Exactly. And just, you know, that piece quote that was mentioned about, you know, we're falling through the air and the good news is there's no ground. You know, when I hear that, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that there's no ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Woo!
It's like, great. You know, that's what life is. We're all falling through the air and there's no ground. And that's true for me and that's true for everyone else. So we're just out there experimenting with what happens.
Yeah.
You know? And then what ego does is, but in a particular instance, you know, it says, but maybe, what if that's not so?
Yeah. It does it just so well. It narrows it, mm-hmm. pulls it back down into a small, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't really trust that.
Yeah. Well, let me see.
Well, let me see. Right. That's true. I mean, and that's really the only, well, I was going to say the only answer, but it's really the only yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's not even let me see. It's let's see.
Let's see.
Let's just see.
Let's just say yes, and then we'll find out. Because if we don't, we're never going to find out.
Yeah.
Because we're going to stay here.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it's those things that that we always wonder about. What would have happened if I would have da-da-da-da, you know, instead of just like, wee, well, you know, or...
Yeah, or I was just sitting here a little bit ago thinking, I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I was thinking about times when I did just really bold, crazy yes things that, you know, in retrospect were really kind of really up there, you know? And my entire life where it has ended up would not have happened if I had not done that.
Yeah, and I project there probably was in a lot of regret for doing those completely unpredictable thing. June.
For ego, there's a definite ground.
A very definite ground.
Very big, hard, rocky ground.
Oh, yeah, that thing up there. Yeah.
Every time there is the great good fortune to be able to come back to the present, get out of ego and healthy constantly, it gets around. Yeah, really, I can enjoy that, which is really a joyful thing. So
ego hits the ground and life gets the sword.
My up in the year game thing this year is confronting self-forgetting wherever I need it, whenever it arises. And if there is awareness, this is that thing. Is to at least acknowledge it. At least acknowledge it. And self-forgiving is the thing that people talk about here so much. For me, it is the voice that says, you know, there will be an impulse to the thing that's up right now is simply stretch. Spend 5 minutes of it stretching. And oh my God, thank you. Well, I was torture. Yeah, it's just torture. I mean, I don't have time. And I did stretch. I get on a mat on the floor, and my cats want to help.
Yeah.
They're so helpful. Because they hold me down and keep me from fluffing off or something. I don't know. They do have a mirror. Perfect flexibility. So they're not home. Oh, yeah. It's as I get older, I get stiffer. And getting up out of the chair and walking to the wherever it goes next hurts. And it takes a while to get my back to go for a week. yesterday morning, I stretched. I stretched after warming up. And I noticed throughout the day, all right, already. I noticed throughout the day that every time I get up, I expect to be. It's already in me to expect that it's going to hurt again. And it didn't happen. Much more flexible, much more able to move completely in the body. And, you know, and of course the campaign is starting. That was a one-shot deal.
You weren't supposed to see that. You were
up for failure. And so I just said, who's setting you up? And my point again is, when you reflect on it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you started out by saying that you were looking at self-forgetting.
Yes.
Yeah. And that
it's just happened.
Which is an interesting term.
Yeah.
You know, and you were then you were referring to that, I think, you know, something that would really care for the self and the physical body, not, you know, and that's stretching, only 5 minutes. But it's like you would have, it sounds like, you know, you get a story like you committed to getting on the rack for 3 hours a day and, you know, being somebody, you know, stretching you. And that it's so, there's so much resistance to it. And yet, you picked up a little clue there that when you actually did do that, even the cats want to jump in there with some distraction. You know, it's amazing how the environment conspires to distract, or ego conspires to distract. But you have noticed that it may have been, you know, one of those blips, or, you know, that the day that you actually stretched, there was not the discomfort in getting out of the chair, and you noticed that the body moved more freely through the day.
Yes. Yeah. So, I don't think I have anything else to say.
Mm-hmm.
Part of living in present is living in the body.
Yeah. Exactly. Being here now is, this here now includes this physical body, and to, I love that, what you said, is to not forget it, you know, and to be also in love with it, you know, to treat it with respect and give it what cares for it. And seeing how, you know, self-hate, egocentric, karmic conditioning will fight us tooth and nail to not care for that, which, you know, we have referred to in this last year of upping our game as the vehicle of awakening. So it's really, really easy to see why it doesn't want us to be in relationship with it. Rebecca.
Well, I've been looking at something that I think is pointed to in the Transform Your Life quote, that life is like getting on a boat that's about to sail up to the sea and sink.
Mm-hmm.
and it is that basically we're all dying. We're all going to die.
We're all going to die. Yeah.
And what I'm looking at is how karma is like the malignant tumor that will kill us if we let it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really, you know, that's really what's going on here. Is that, you know, when the guy just said in any number of ways, very emphatically, only one is going to come out of this alive, either ego or the human. And just when I get, you know, pretty despairing about that, and feeling like the malignant tumor is going to win, it drops in that the kind of the so what.
And it sounds like there may be a little bit of story developing around, you know, is the malignant tumor going to win, or, you know, conditioning. And then what arose is, so what?
Mm-hmm. Now, I think Ram Dass is the one who said it, that when he was working with someone who was dying, said,
mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is you're spending 23 hours a day dying and only 1 hour
mm-hmm.
a day living,
mm-hmm.
and why don't you flip it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was sort of what's implied in this, so well.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Well, okay. Yeah, we're all going to die. Now what do you want to do?
Yeah.
How do you want to live?
Yeah.
And,
that there's an assumption that I think is being revealed. I think it's an assumption, and I think I'm thinking it, but I'm not sure. That is, the assumption is that we're somehow here to overcome ego.
Mm-hmm.
That to end suffering means to stop ego.
Mm-hmm.
Egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm beginning to consider, or what I'm considering, I don't know if I'm just beginning, but it seems to, again, consider, is that...
We have another member of the Sangha that I'm not talking this morning, sorry.
It's probably the same one. I forgot what I was beginning to consider.
You know, I think I forgot too. It's
we're not here to overcome.
Right.
Know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just looking at whether we're having that as a focus. How can I overcome ego? Like that's a doing again. You know, something that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I've been encouraged in listening to recordings and things that are putting forth an attitude of mind of just do what you want to do. Do the little things consistently and persistently that are easy to do and easy not to do, and just do them. And so I have been practicing that. And the same thing with recording and listening. It's the same thing with meditation. It's the same thing with everything that we want. You know, basically what do we want to have in our lives,
right.
and not to be so preoccupied with karma.
I don't know if this feel like this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier about. Yeah, just really bringing our full attention to those what we would term smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those activities of daily life that present themselves,
mm-hmm.
rather than being focused on what would seem like this real big task,
mm-hmm.
to drop the ego,
mm-hmm.
and to maybe practice it, dropping ego, just you know. Moment by moment with the little small things in front of us,
mm-hmm.
through gratitude, appreciation, and presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Penny.
What I was just hearing in that what was coming up for me was that the message that ego was winning is ego's message.
If it loves it, yeah. Yeah.
Because life wouldn't say that.
Right.
And it's a message I often get. And I was noticing in the Newsies article when they talked about practice, the presence is a binary process. Whether you're present or not.
Uh-huh.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I am. I am.
And,
yeah.
and so if we're present some of the time, then we're practicing being present some of the time. And that resonated because that's basically what happens.
Uh huh. If we're practicing
and
being present some of the time, we're practicing being present some of the time.
Which is, you know, I would have to say that describes me.
Uh-huh.
And so what came in right away was that basically was a condemnation, essentially. That I could take that in as a condemnation.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And what I got was if I do that, I'm giving that over to conditioning. It's just information.
It's just,
yeah, it's just something to look at.
Yeah.
And how quickly, you know, or I didn't lose the tool or I left the garden open.
Yeah.
It's just information.
Yeah.
And how conditioning can come in instantly to make that a problem. And if I believe that that's a problem,
mm-hmm.
then I'm getting an early conditioning.
Right.
Boy, it's hard to catch that.
Because
it seems so light.
It's going right back to that feeling bad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the moment we choose to feel bad about it, gosh, that's a one, you know, a big score for conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what it would love for us to do with that information. But to just take it in as information.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So the minute there's that kind of negative slant to it, it's home,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Then I'm in relationship with conditioning. So I really keep that as a kind of reminder, because I just heard it in our discussion today, that any message that conditioning is winning or I'm losing is a conditioned message.
Just a conditioned message.
And I really need to get out of that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Is it winning in this moment? No. Yep. Just to drop it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been reading a book that I think Sherry might have listened to years ago called Gandhi and Churchill. Fabulous book. The last time I read it, Gandhi has just reached the point where he gets it that he can't negotiate with the British Empire. That he has to step out of that, and the only way to step out of it is through non-cooperation.
Uh-huh.
So any push at odds with all the other rationals who are fight.
Yeah.
And he says, if you fight, we're still engaged.
Yeah, boy.
The only way we can operate, the only way we can do this is to not cooperate. And I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The only way we can do this is not cooperate.
Boy, we hear that all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
As soon as we engage with conditioning, no matter how it, you know.
And from a conditioned perspective, that's so not powerful.
Yeah.
And from a non-conditioned perspective, it's the only thing that can
really. Yeah, it would have us believe that a warrior is somebody that just goes into battle with it, you know, whereas, as you're describing that with Gandhi, just being a warrior is someone that just steps outside of the whole situation, lets it, go on by, and
I'm just not participating.
Tracy, you've got a few minutes.
So I'm seeing how committed the human is to coming back to the moment,
mm-hmm.
and back to center,
mm-hmm.
falling in love with the joy,
mm-hmm.
of returning,
mm-hmm.
and the body being the vehicle of awareness. I'm seeing how important it is to the human to take, I like this term, exquisite care,
mm-hmm.
of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And looking really closely at what does that feel like?
Uh-huh.
What really does that mean?
Yeah.
And seeing a couple of times how when the body's gotten really tired, just
mm-hmm.
physically fatigued,
mm-hmm.
that for this person is this huge opening for conditioning to come in,
mm-hmm.
and take over the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And thus the deep commitment to sort of the fierce commitment to practice, to awareness practice, is completely wholly tied up with that,
mm-hmm.
care of the body,
mm-hmm.
and being very sensitive, noticing what the condition of the body is, and being really tender and kind,
mm-hmm.
and not driving,
mm-hmm.
the body, drive the body, just past,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
its place of care,
mm-hmm.
and conditioning just drives, mm-hmm. right in and takes over.
Yeah, so just really noticing this deep, deep commitment of to presence, to being.
Mm-hmm.
I think you described the word, just the love, to just being present to the love in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and to not exclude the body from that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And to just really, really sound like you're just picking up clues to what that kind of love, care, and attention, what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And noticing, times that when conditioning is listened to, maybe, and the body is pushed beyond,
mm-hmm.
what's kind, just noticing what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Versus noticing what it feels like to stay in that place of kindness and,
mm-hmm.
and listening to how life may care for the body.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't fit ego's pictures.
Doesn't fit ego's pictures. Yeah, yeah. Probably doesn't fit ego's pictures, you know, our identity's pictures about, you know, who I am and how things mm-hmm. should be and, you know, all of that. Noodle.
A lot of noodling.
Yeah. Yeah, but to just really practice with that and to bring kindness.
Yeah.
Thank you all.